So I'm going to track my heart rate with the new Fitbit to see how that compares to last night, and you'll understand why in a moment. So I'm Mike James. I'm a developer evangelist at Xamarin. And today we're going to be talking about Test Cloud and Xamarin Insights. So to give you a little bit of information about myself, I live in Cardiff, Wales. It's where they filmed Doctor Who. So any Whovians? So a few. So there's actually a museum, a Doctor Who experience, where you can walk around the TARDIS just on this bay here. So if you are a Whovian, I highly recommend you go down to Cardiff and check it out, because you can pretend to be a doctor, which is very exciting. But we're not here to talk about me. But we will briefly mention last night. So my heart rate. So last night, I got to Germany, and I sat down at the hotel, and I did a software update. I thought, I'll make sure I'm all up to date before I give my presentation. And had a few issues with that update, to the point where I had to format my Surface. So what else can you do when you're reinstalling Windows but to open a bottle of whiskey and run a bath? So a little while later, I had Windows installed on my computer, and this morning I've been beavering away to make sure that I'm ready for you. So this is a little rough around the edges, because it's all been created this morning. So please forgive me for that. Touch wood, everything will work perfectly. So who's heard of Xamarin? Perfect. So we've got three main products. So we have the platform tools, which allow you to develop cross-platform apps in C#. So you can write for iOS and Android and the Mac. And then we've got Test Cloud, which is our testing solution, and we've got Xamarin Insights, which is our analytics and crash reporting solution. And today we're going to be focusing on Test Cloud and Xamarin Insights. So is anyone actually using Xamarin Test Cloud already? Just one? Well, two if you include myself. Well, that's exciting. So what is Xamarin Test Cloud? Well, Xamarin Test Cloud is effectively a warehouse in Denmark with over 1,300 physical devices that have come from the manufacturer. So we've not jailbroken them. So they're as you would expect as you pull out your brand new device from the box and start running your app. So they've warehouse full of these devices, and you can rent time on the device in order to test your application. So who here is testing on more than 134 devices? Come on, you should be if you're using Test Cloud. No? Shocking. Shocking. We should fix that. So if you're not testing on more than 134 devices, then you're not even hitting 75% of the US market coverage. So that means that you're effectively asking your users to test your apps for you. And this is the quickest way to guarantee that you're going to get a one or two-star review in the App Store, where they'll say it doesn't work or it crashes, and you won't have any information in order to go and fix that problem. So Xamarin Test Cloud fixes this because you have, as I say, access to these 1,300 physical devices in order to test your applications before you ship it to the user, so that you can guarantee that your app works and behaves exactly how you expect it to. So there are two parts to Xamarin Test Cloud. You have the local side, which we'll cover today. Then we have the Test Cloud, which I'll show afterwards. So the local side is where you're going to be creating these test scripts in order to confirm that your app behaves and responds how you expect it to. So you can do this in Ruby with Calabash, or you can use C# with UITest. Today I'm going to be doing it all in C# because I'm a .NET guy. But if there are any Ruby developers here, you're more than welcome to recreate this in Ruby if you so wish. But the general premise is that you're going to be using the REPL to step through your application as your user would and interact how you expect your user to. So you'll be doing things like, I want to fill in this login information and I want to hit OK. And when I hit OK, I expect to then go to the welcome screen. And it's going to do that test on all of the devices that you ask it to run on. And it will confirm or deny whether or not that was a success. So we hit login, did we see the welcome screen? We didn't on some devices, so that's a failure. And we did on others, so that's a pass. So then on the other side, you've written your test scripts, you've played around with it in the emulator or on your physical device that's attached, and you want to see how it performs on all the devices. So you then upload those test scripts and your APKs and .apps to Test Cloud, and you rerun the tests across however many devices that you decide you want to run on, preferably more than 134, otherwise you're not going to be getting that market coverage. So the important thing with Xamarin Test Cloud is you can test on any app. As long as it's running on the iPhone or Android, we're able to test it. And we were hoping for Q1 to add Windows Phone support, but we're pushing that back a little bit. But Windows Phone is coming. So if you've built your app in Cordova, or heaven forbid you've used Objective-C, or you've used Java, then you can still test your application with Xamarin Test Cloud. So it's not unique to apps built with Xamarin. As long as it's running on the device, we can test it. And we can simulate almost anything a user can do with a physical device, apart from dropping it down the toilet, which we've not yet managed to simulate effectively. We can simulate scrolling, tapping, multi-touch gestures. We can simulate your location. So you can really build up a picture of how you think the user is going to interact with your app, and then replicate that through scripts. And then, of course, you've got the repeatability of this. So you're able to run this test over and over and over again. Whereas if you had a human manually running these tests, they'd probably go mental before they actually completed testing it on 1,300 devices, but they'd certainly get RSI as they're tapping the same buttons over and over and over again. So this is a way to guarantee that you're getting the same results with every run. So this integrates with your continuous integration system. So if you're using Jenkins or TFS or TeamCity, then you can integrate this into that process. So you can get instant feedback when something goes wrong, so that your developers can be notified what the problem was. They'll get a full stack trace, and they can go ahead and start trying to find out what caused that problem on those particular devices. So let's have a look at some code and how we actually create some scripts. So I've got Visual Studio here, and we have a conference app, which I'll just load in our Android player. Oh, disaster. Let's go ahead and find the desktop. Boom. We'll keep that. So I'm going to restart our Android player. Our Android player is a preview release, and it doesn't handle screen changes particularly well. So if you unplug a screen or add a screen or change your resolutions, you need to restart our Android player, which is a bit tedious. But it's not the end of the world. When you see how fast it starts, you'll appreciate that it's far superior to the Google emulator. So the Google emulator takes about 2.5 minutes to start up, and our Android player takes about 17 seconds. No one needs to time it. There we go. So I'm hoping our engineers can fix that problem with the different screens, but it only really proves an issue when you're demoing like this and you're changing your resolutions. When you've got your desktop set up, you're very rarely going to experience that bug. So let's load the application. So this is an app we built for our conference, which we hosted in Atlanta in October, so Xamarin Evolve. And this was built by my colleague James Montemagno. And if the internet's working, it's going to go and fetch some data. And we handed this out to all of our delegates, and they used this to find out what sessions were they interested in, information about the speakers, and this was built using Xamarin Forms. So if any of you have heard of Xamarin Forms and were wondering what a Xamarin Forms app looks like, here's a good example. So we can go through and we can click around and we can add favorites and cancel that, and we can do swiping as well. So the app's got a few bits to it that we'll want to test, and I would like to write a test which is adding to favorites. So we'll find a session, we'll click add to favorites, and then we'll add an email address and get that added to the favorites. So if I come back into Visual Studio, where are we? You can see I've made a stub, which is just favorite a session. And I'm saying app.REPL, and this is using that UI test framework, which you can grab from NuGet. And that's going to load up a REPL, which is read, evaluate, print, loop. And then we can start interacting with this Android player. So let's resize this. And let's start the REPL. Perfect. So the REPL allows us to interact with the app as we're working. So we're not having to sit there and write out our test scripts in Visual Studio and hit play and then watch it and go, oh, I got that wrong. I need to go back and start editing. We can build up our test scripts as you would use the app. So I want to know what visual elements are available within the current view. So I'll type in tree. And I get information about every visual control available on the Android, well, within the app at the moment. So as I said, I want to favorite a session. And I'll probably favorite the kickoff session. So I'm going to look through here, through the tree that it's just printed for me, and just double check that it's got a kickoff session. So it's there. It can see it. So I can, first of all, I'll probably want to wait for element. And all I did was just hit X and then tab, and it filled in the rest for me. And I'm going to look for the element with the text value of kickoff session. And the reason I want to wait for the element with the text of kickoff session is because we're pulling that information from the cloud, I want to make sure that it's actually finished loading that data. If I said I just want to click on the element of kickoff session without having checked it's there first, we could throw an exception because we didn't wait long enough for that data to be available. So we'll wait for that. And then once we know it's there, I'm going to tap it. So I'll type in app.tap. And again, I'm just going to do X and hit tab. I'll say I'm going to tap kickoff session. Boom. So now we're into the kickoff session. And again, we can come in and go tree. We're going to get a new list of every visual control that's available to us within this view. So we've got a few controls here, but I want to add to favorites. So I can see it's a button, and the add to favorites has some white space at each end. So if I just said I was looking for the element that had the text kickoff session without that white space, it's never going to find it. And so that test would fail. So I need to be quite specific about what I'm looking for here. But we don't just have to search for text. We can say, actually, I'm only interested in looking for buttons. So find the type that has a class of button. And when you find that, then we can continue with our test. So in this case, there is only one button, I think, that's available to us. So we could do the X dot looking for class or wait for element of class button. But I'm just going to use text because it's nice and easy. So again, we'll probably want to do wait for element. In fact, let's do a screenshot. So Xamarin Test Cloud allows you to take these screenshots in order to build up a picture of how your app looks. So let's do app.screenshot. And you'll notice that you're getting hints at the bottom as you're typing this code in order to tell you what API is available to you. So you're not just on your own having to guess, like, oh, I'm not sure when I hit dot what I can do. And I've always said C# is a dot do language. I hit dot, and if it doesn't tell me what I can do, then I do nothing. I'll just restart the IDE and try again. So this is helping us. So screenshot, and I'm going to pass in a name. So then I opened the kickoff session view. Boom. And that's going to take a screenshot. And it's already saved it for us, so we could actually go back and look at that if we wanted to. But it would be more interesting to see it actually in Test Cloud. So let's do tree again just to get rid of that. Perfect. I'm going to do app.tet or app.tap. In fact, let's have a look at what's available. So you've got class, you've got child, you've got buttons. You can see you can really decide what you want to tap and how you want to interact with the app. You're not limited in terms of what you can simulate. Add, do favorites. Boom. So then we'll hit the add to favorites. And in this case, when we fill in the email address, it will send us an email with a PIN. So we could spam my colleague if we wanted to. We can see we've got a few controls here, which is super useful. Now, what's important with this is that what we're not doing is we're not looking at X, Y coordinates, because obviously Android devices, and now iOS with these super phones, your apps controls, X, Y coordinates, are going to be different depending on the device that it's running on. So if you're testing this on a tiny little phone, then its position of that control is going to be vastly different to its X, Y coordinates for a giant tablet or a TV. So you really don't, you have the access to, but you really don't want to be clicking and interacting with these controls based on their position. Rather, you want to be looking at properties of those controls in order to decide what you want to interact with. So in this case, I'm just going to, what shall we do? Let's do some more kind of interesting swipe right. We're going to swipe right. Hang on. Right. Let's try swipe left. Ah. I know why. We just exit out of there. Let's try it again. Woohoo. There we go. So you can do the swiping around. And once you've built up this test script, you can just come into the REPL and hit copy. And it's copied all of those steps to your clipboard. So we can come back into our favorite session. And we'll stop debugging. And we can get rid of the REPL. And then we've got our test script. But I've actually, in Blue Peter fashion, got one I wrote earlier, which is a bit more involved. So you can see we've got some wait for elements, just like before you've seen we're looking for buttons or text values. We're entering some text. So now we can go ahead and run this. And it's going to relaunch the app so that we know that we're in a known state and can start from the beginning. It's going to wait for that kickoff session. It taps it. We fill in some information. It's likely to say, oops. Oh, there we go. So that's just favorited a session. My colleague has now just got an email spamming him, so we might want to do that again just to send him two or three. So we'll stop this. Oh. And we'll run that again. You can imagine you could just unplug the device. I'm just using an emulator here, but if you've got multiple devices around the office, you could unplug that, go and grab another Android device, plug it in, rerun the test, and confirm that it works on now the Nexus 7, because you've tested it works on the Nexus 5. And then you can be like, well, how does it work on the Sony devices? So you can just keep plugging in new devices locally, if that's how you want to work. And of course, you can do this with iOS as well. So there we go. My colleague's just got another email, so that's always good. So it's, you guys are probably, as I used to do testing, where you just go around the office and collect your colleagues' phones, right? Yeah? Sound familiar? Or do you have test labs already, or are none of you testing? What have we got? You borrow phones? A few nods. Test labs? Anyone got device labs already? One. Are you using ours, or do you have your own? Both. We're going to have to talk afterwards. I'm very intrigued. Well, once you've written your test and you've confirmed, hey, on my devices that I've got in the office, this works perfectly, I want to see how it runs on those 1,300 devices, you can then upload this app or this configuration up to Test Cloud. And then run the test in Test Cloud. And it's a subscription service which works out at about $5 per device hour, because you're renting time on these devices. And once your tests have run, we're going to do a factory reset on the device so that none of your data lingers around for anyone else to start pulling off. We seem to have a mild internet issue. Interesting. Perhaps it's because we're on HTTPS. Failing that, Test Cloud has crashed, which would be a disaster because I've never seen this happen before. Let's see, can we get to evolve? Should be HTTP? Let's just do. Boom, boom, boom. Thank you. Oh, and it's dropped the S. Yeah, that's a very good idea. When in doubt. So once you've uploaded your app and you've got it running on these 1,300 devices, you may have been developing this app for a client. And they may be asking, well, how does it perform on all of these devices? And you can actually share with them a link so that they can go through the same dashboard that your engineers have access to, so that they can go through and see all of those screenshots that you created running on all of those devices. I'm going to see if it loads on my phone, and if it does, we'll start tethering. And because it works perfectly here, we'll start tethering. And because it integrates with your CI, you can instantly create bugs or issues within GitHub or your issue tracking software, so that when the device crashes, you get the stack trace sent straight to your developers so that they can start working on it immediately. They're not going to have to go into the web interface or the dashboard in order to find these issues. This is more of just a nice way to overview all of that data. So I've started tethering. Let's connect here. Perfect. So we've got a few apps. Thank goodness for 4G. So we've got a few apps that we've already got in Xamarin Test Cloud, but we'll have a look at the favorite session test that I just wrote. So we'll tap on that. Now you can see I've run this test three different times. The first two times I only ran it on two devices, which really doesn't give me much useful information about how the app is performing. But on the last test, I ran it on 40 devices. So the last test is probably more interesting to us. So we'll go ahead and tap that. Just as before, when I mentioned this is all shareable, if you come up to the shareable, you can make it private if you want. But if it is set to shareable, then you can just email the URL directly to your client, and they can come in and they can view all of this data just like we are now. So we can see straight away that we had 13 failures out of the 40 tests or 40 devices that we ran this on. And it'd be interesting to find out what those devices were. So here we go. We can see that Sony had some issues, some Samsung devices had some issues. But there wasn't just one manufacturer, so this isn't unique to one implementation of Android. These issues are obviously across the entire broad spectrum of different Android devices. So we can also filter this information. So we can say, I only want to see Amazon devices or Nokia devices. So let's do Samsung. And we're going to see the dashboard with only Samsung devices populated. If we scroll out. And this is that screenshot part that I was talking about. So every time you take a screenshot in Xamarin Test Cloud, we're going to take that image and we're going to store it for you so that you can go through and do comparisons between each UI. And often you'll find little issues. So let's turn the filtering off and see it across all of the devices. And we can use the up-down arrows to just step through each test or each step of the test. So we click the kickoff session. Everything looks fine there. Then I add a favorite. Again, everything looks great. Although, I've just spotted a problem. This is how we expect the app to look. So the text should be wrapping. But if we go to the device next door to this, we'll see that the text isn't wrapping. Now, we could flag this as an issue. So when we're doing the testing, we could say we're waiting or we're looking for the element with the text value of, and then we can pass in that string. Now, when we're doing that tree command and it's giving you that visual hierarchy, it will be able to decide if that string is entirely visible to you. So if there's something blocking that screen or it's been chopped off, we'll be able to say, well, that entire string isn't visible, so we're going to fail this test. So I could write a better test in order to catch this kind of issue, which at the moment Xamarin Test Cloud doesn't flag as an issue, but I'm able to spot when I'm going through the dashboard. So the little lightning bolts suggest that we've got some issues on this step of the test, which was then I enter my email address. And we can see that the devices are flagged up as being an issue. And immediately I can see that the keyboard is visible on these devices, but not visible on the others. So let's just check what the issue was. So we can click on test failure. And I can see that it was unable to find the element. So just with that text, and I said that we're looking for the string value, in this case, it knows that the keyboard is hiding part of the button, so it's not entirely visible using that visual hierarchy. So we can see a bit of it. The user could probably get by and tap it, but we still qualify this as a fail. And of course, we also get the device log, so that your developers get all of the information about what the device was doing up till that failure. So let's double check that all the devices failed for the same reason. Yeah, unable to find the element. And the same again. So once the device has failed, we're not going to continue testing. So we'll just take that device offline, and we'll continue the test on every other device. So I'll just use the arrow key, and I'll step down. And we'll see that we've got 10 more failures here. But those three devices that failed before, they're grayed out. So let's have a look at what the failure was. So it timed out. So this could be that there was a network connectivity issue in the warehouse, which is extraordinarily unlikely, but always worth checking. Or it could just be that that implementation of Android on these devices has some networking issues, which has caused these devices to fail with our particular code. So this is definitely worth investigating. And obviously with the stack trace, the console log, your developers are in a much better position to start debugging the issue than someone leaving an App Store review that says it doesn't work. So we can continue down, and all of those devices are now grayed out. We can see that we're swiping, and then we've got the final screen. So this is a super powerful way in order to test your applications across thousands of devices. And we're adding, I think, 100 devices every single month. As I say, at the moment, we're at 1,300 devices, and it's always growing. And it's not just that we've got one iPhone sat in the warehouse, or like one iPhone 6. We've got multiple versions of the devices running each variant of the OS that that device supports. So Android has like 19,000 different varieties. And that figure was given to me, I think, in July. So it's probably even more now. So if you want to test your device or your app across all the different flavors of Android, you're going to need to be testing on 19,000, which is a bit of a commitment in terms of your purchasing power to get all of those devices into your office, which is why Test Cloud works so well. So we have the likes of Tesco's in the UK, which I think are the equivalent to Carrefour. So a super large grocery store that use Test Cloud to test every single app that they produce. And over the Christmas period, they were very worried about a large influx of people using their apps, so they actually had Test Cloud running all of the time, just querying their backend and running through their apps to make sure that any problems they found before the user did and they could get an update out, because they would have lost millions of pounds for every hour that the app would have been failing. So it's an extraordinarily powerful tool. As I say, it's about $5 per device hour, and you're renting the devices. We do a factory reset after every test so that no one can grab your data afterwards. And you buy your subscriptions on a yearly basis, and it breaks down to a monthly allowance. And when you sign up, we'll give you an engineer to go through your app and start the process of writing these scripts so that you can get started almost immediately. So, analytics and crash reporting. So this is unique to apps built with .NET. So who here is a .NET developer? Well, hey, that's what I like to see. So if you're building .NET apps and you're not monitoring where they're crashing and why they're crashing, then you're missing a trick. So we've got a product called Xamarin Insights, which is in preview, which allows you to catch any uncaught exceptions automatically and any caught exceptions. And this is in real time so that you can see exactly when your applications are failing and why they're failing. And this supports iOS, Android, Mac, and Windows. So if .NET runs on that platform, there's a good chance that Xamarin Insights will also run on the platform. And it's just a NuGet package, so you can go on to NuGet and type in Xamarin Insights and add that to your existing project. Go to insights.xamarin.com, and you can get your key in order to get started. And as I said, it automatically is going to report any uncaught exceptions. And it's going to give you the full stack trace so that your developers can get started. And again, this is just a way to try and stop people giving your apps reviews saying it doesn't work, with no information on how to reproduce that problem in order for your developers to fix it. And not only will it catch uncaught exceptions, it's also giving you an API in order to report any caught exceptions that you think are worthwhile pointing to your developers to investigate further. And not only do you get that functionality, you also have an API that allows you to implement user tracking. So this allows you to build up a picture of how your users are actually using your applications out there in the wild. And when you combine this with the crash reporting, it allows you to build up a step process of what led the user to experiencing that crash, which is immensely valuable when you've got that information for when you're writing test scripts with Xamarin Test Cloud. So for every crash that you receive with Xamarin Insights, I would recommend going away and writing a UI test in order to test that on the devices in Test Cloud. because that way with every crash you get, you should be building a more bulletproof product. And once you've tracked the user, and this that's completely anonymous, and you're getting their crash reports, you can also identify them. So if you've got an app that requires a login with their username and password or their email address, you can identify that session with a real person. So you can say, well, Bob was using the app and it crashed, so let's get in touch with Bob directly because we've got his email address. Or to use Tesco's as an example, they can have that you're going through their iPad app and you're doing your weekly grocery shopping, and you've spent 20 minutes in there adding lots of bread and sausages to your basket. And you get to the checkout and the app crashes. Well, that order's disappeared, but you know that the app crashed and you know the user that the app that experienced that crash. So you can then just go ahead and email them a discount for their next weekly shop, say £20 off. So you can be very proactive in the support that you give to your customers and reaching out to them. And of course, this integrates. So if you're using GitHub or Jira, then you can create automatic issues from these crashes. So just like with Test Cloud, you're not going to have to go into the dashboard to pull out this data. It's all there available to you in your current systems. So your developers will get all of the information that they need in order to get started on fixing the bugs straight away without having to wait for the user to be proactive in contacting you, which very rarely happens. So let's have a look at the web interface or the dashboard. So Xamarin Insights is free at the moment, so there really isn't a reason not to use it. And we foresee there being a very generous free offering for the foreseeable future. We're not sure how we're going to price it just yet. It could be on the amount of bandwidth you're using. So if you've written an incredibly buggy app that's always crashing, well, we might charge you for all that bandwidth. But yeah, we've not quite decided just yet how we'll monetize this. But our general idea is that for most people, so 99% of users, it should be free. Boom. So here's the dashboard. I've got a few apps in there. But we'll show the Xamarin Evolve app because that's got the most interesting data. So we actually had Xamarin Insights running on our app for the conference. So we were able to track what the users were doing, where they were going, because we had iBeacons around the venue as well. We were able to track any crashes that they had. And we're able to see all of that information within this dashboard to build up a picture of what issues we need to address within the next version of the app. So we've got some pretty terrible bugs here, which would need investigating. And we can see how many users have been affected by it and how many times they've been affected by it. So you may have a bug that's causing your app to crash 1,000 times for one user. And then the next bug down could be a bug that's crashing, you know, one time, but for 1,000 users. So we're going to prioritize that you should probably fix the bug that's hitting 1,000 users rather than the one guy that's persistently loading that and recreating those steps. But we can even search for bugs. So we can say out of range, which is a pretty standard bug to hit, you know, off by one. Hopefully. He says. Well, the internet isn't so great today, but we'll click on this bug instead, or crash, and you'll see that we've got the full stack trace available to us, and we're able to see what devices were actually running in order to cause this crash. So in this case, it was on an iPhone 5, it was running iOS 8.0.2, and the app version was 2.4, and I can even see if they've jailbroken the device, I can see what operator they were using, what their network connectivity was like. And this is all pulled in straight away for you without any extra effort on your part. It's when you want to start tracking the users that you actually have to start implementing that yourself using our API. So let's have a look at some more details on this. We can see what countries it was most prevalent in. Often with the test data that I show in here, it shows Denmark as being quite high, because obviously we ran this app through Xamarin Test Cloud in order to check that it works perfectly. So there's a lot of bugs in here that look like they're coming from Denmark, but we don't actually have that many users in Denmark for this. But you can see how active it was, cellular versus Wi-Fi, and you can see all the different versions of the app that caused the issue. So in this case, it might just be that the latest version of iOS has introduced a bug in your app, and you could see that instantly by seeing that it's only 8.0.2 that's been affected, rather than there's no Android versions and there's no iOS 7 versions of the app that seem to be crashing. So once you've got your report and your developer has gone ahead and fixed it, you can come in here and you can close the issue, and that's gone now. That's going to be marked as fixed, and you're not going to have to deal with that again unless it comes in fresh. So if you've released 2.5 and this crash comes in again, you're still going to be notified. But alternatively, we could say, actually, we just want to ignore this issue from now on. So any new issues that come in which match this criteria, we'll just ignore, and we won't alert you to. In terms of the user tracking, let's have a look at my profile. We can see how many times I've loaded the app, and what have I done within the app, and how many errors that I've experienced. So how many times has this app crashed whilst I've been using it? Well, it seems 5. And we can see what devices I've run it on, as well as I say, any of the open issues. And what I most like about this is the sessions view. So the sessions view is how you view the information about your tracking of your users. So I have a colleague, Clancy, who's developing an app that allows you to download music from YouTube and SoundCloud. And he is tracking everything you do with the app. So needless to say, I'm not using the app a great deal, because if I want to listen to embarrassing music, my colleague will know about it. But he's tracking what time am I starting and stopping listening, what am I searching for, what am I listening for and for how long. And he's building up a profile about me as a user, which he's then going to run through Azure Machine Learning in order to make suggestions about what other dreadful songs I might want to listen to. So you've got that API as a developer in order to track this information, in order to build some very detailed pictures of how your users are interacting with your apps and make suggestions to them based on how other users have used your application. So in this case, we can see when I first got the application, I instantly went and searched for myself. A little bit vain. But then you can see I've continued using the app, and you can see every little step that I've taken. And this is tracked through our API. So if you're not interested in this information, you just don't write the code. It's not that this is collecting this by magic. You really do just have to write a line of code that says, on this button click, I want to report that I'm now going into a new view, or on this button click, I'm now pausing the music. So you have to do the code behind in order to implement this. Just by default with Xamarin Insights, you're only going to get those completely anonymous, uncaught exception stack traces sent to you. And then with the settings as well, if we go into the settings, you can integrate this with webhooks and connect it to GitHub and the like, as well as inviting your team so that they can collaborate on it as well, so that you can have all of your developers and your product managers involved in this. So if your product manager wants to know when the app is crashing, they can come into here and find out as soon as your developers do as well. As I say, that's completely free. You should go to NuGet and type in Xamarin Insights, and you can add that to your app today. You've got all of the documentation online. And if you're interested in learning more about Xamarin and Xamarin Test Cloud and Xamarin Insights, we offer something called Xamarin University, which is kind of zero to hero in mobile app development. So you can come in with no knowledge of C# or F# or .NET as a whole, and we'll teach you the fundamentals of programming as well as mobile development, so iOS APIs, Android APIs, as well as Xamarin Forms. Once you finish with Xamarin University, we'll give you a test at the end, And if you pass the test and you become a Xamarin Certified Developer, and I like to say that that's a license to print money at the moment, because it really is. If you're certified as a Xamarin Developer, people will come knocking down your door to try and employ you. So it's a very worthwhile thing to have on your CV at the moment. So I highly recommend checking that out. And if you want to get in touch or have any questions, then you can get me on Twitter, or you can email me, or you can go and stalk me on my website. So thank you. Are there any questions? I think we've got time for questions.
Three questions.
So it will take the screenshot. It depends on the step at which it fails. So obviously, if it fails before you've written that line app.screenshot, it's not going to have taken that screenshot. But you will get the stack trace in order to find out what's actually gone wrong. Because often your app's going to crash when you're loading into a new view, so there isn't a great deal to show you anyway. Well, it depends. Again, it depends what step you are in the process. If you started every step of your process by taking a screenshot and then running your command, and then taking another screenshot, then you would get as many screenshots as you've written. But if you're doing, say, the wait for element, and you're waiting for that element, and then you do the screenshot, well, if it fails to find the element, it's going to come up with an error, and it's not going to continue the test. So it's not going to get to that screenshot stage. Yep. So literally anything that you can run on an iPhone or an Android device, you can test in Xamarin Test Cloud.
You don't have to wrap the website first in a Cordova container.
Oh, yeah. So you need to be shipping .apps and APKs. Okay. So you don't have the ability at the moment to just go in and start fiddling with the phone as is. So if you would have to wrap it in a container of some description. But as I say, as long as it's .apk or .app, we can test it. Yeah.
And the third and last question was, how is your heart rate?
Sorry?
How is your heart rate?
Heart rate, that's a very good question. Slightly higher than average, but still in the healthy range. So apparently calm. But it'll be interesting to see how it peaks throughout the whole presentation, and then compare that to yesterday night. Yeah. Any other questions? So I am about all day, so come and find me if you do have any pressing things that you want to ask. So yeah, thank you very much.